You can turn your Bibles to 3 John. 3 John. 3 John only has one chapter. And last week we dealt with truth, and we need to love one another in the truth. Okay? Many churches today believe that, we need to just love one another, and as long as you feel good, it's okay. It's okay. I mean, yeah, everyone makes mistakes, so that's okay. Let's condone the sin, and we don't have to deal with it. That's not what God says. Okay, we need to love in the truth. Today we move on to the third epistle of John, and I just give you a bit of introduction first. Then we'll go through verse by verse, and I'll draw a few lessons at the end, and so that we can actually then wrap up and pray. But the welcome of missionaries, okay? I've never really seen that, but I think it's important for us to understand. The third book of John talks about the support of missionaries, okay? And how in the church there were three men, okay? They had problems. One man had problems, two men were good examples. And through that, the Apostle John actually was going through, all right, to teach us. So by way of introduction, John was writing to a man called Gaius. And he was commending Gaius' life and service to the Lord, and for the care and hospitality of the missionaries or any man of God that comes through. All right. So God was through the Apostle John commending Gaius. Okay. The word Gaius, interestingly, means Lord. Lord, L-O-R-D, means Lord. Okay. It is significance after we'll bring up. Okay. This chapter teaches the truth of accepting and supporting men of God that walk in the truth of the gospel. Now, I need to highlight that. Walk in the truth of the gospel. The Bible says in Matthew 24, in the last days, there will be many deceivers who call themselves Christ, who call themselves, I am the Messiah, or then they will have followers who will tell the world that they are the Christ. Example, we have the Moonies, for example, is obviously a cult. The Mormons, for example, I know it's very strong in the Philippines. One of the strategies, I think, they go to a province, build a hall there, build a Mormon church. So, no one comes, never mind, just build something there. And then hopefully people get interested and come. The JW is another cult, and they believe that they are the true way. But they are obviously not saved because they do not believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and He is God Himself. And so we need to be careful to be discerning. I can tell you, as our church grows, as people will come, you will find that many people will come in with doctrines such as this, and we need to be very clear that we will only support and accept men who walk in the truth of the Bible. And we do everything we can to speed them on their way so that they can keep doing the work of God. Okay? We'll go through this epistle, we'll find out about three men, and then we'll be learning some things, alright? To that, okay, let's look at 1 verse 1. The Bible says that elder, referring to John the Apostle, unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Okay, the Apostle John writes to a man called Gaius, whose name interestingly means Lord. This is a man who was loved by John, because as mentioned last week, the Apostle's love is in the truth. When we love one another as Christians, we must love in the truth. Alright? Does that therefore mean that if a non-believer is not walking in truth, we don't love it? No. In fact, we should have the unconditional love for these people to share the gospel with them and help them in every way we can. Alright? However, for believers, we need to love in the truth. Because if you believe in Jesus and I believe in Jesus, we have the same truth. Amen? And therefore, we need to live consistent in this truth. Okay? And so that's what John is saying here, number 2, verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. I want you to notice John's wish and greeting for Gaius was that Gaius, just pretend John is here. He said, Gaius, I wish you were as healthy as you are physically, as you are spiritually. So, is Gaius more healthy spiritually or more healthy physically? Based on this verse. He is more healthy spiritually. Well, that's something for us to imitate. You know, as someone will say, hey, you need to take a little bit of break. You know, I know you're serving the Lord, but you know, you need to rest too. Your spiritual life is stronger than your physical life. And that's something that, you know, not many people in this world will get that kind of commendation. But you know what? In this, we see a very strong example of a Christian who serves God, not caring about even his own health sometimes. Alright? And so, here John had to highlight that and say, Gaius, please take care of your physical health, and I'm hoping that you are as strong physically as you are spiritually. Okay? Now, verse 3. John goes on and says, I'm very joyful. I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, even as thou walkest in the truth. John was very grateful or joyful because Gaius was walking in the truth of God. And this was probably reported by those who has experienced and received Gaius' help as they went through that church. Does that make sense? Okay? And so here say, I rejoice greatly because when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you. And it could be that John the Apostle may have met other men of God who were sharing and say, hey, you know, I went to that church. Well, everyone was kind of a bit cold, but you know what? There was this man, Gaius. I mean, he just loved God and he knew that we had need and he brought us in, he fed us, took care of us. And as we were about to leave, he maybe just gave us a small love offering to help us on our way. You know, man, he is just loving God. And we just, you know, when the Apostle John heard that, he said, oh, thank God for that man who supported this man of God. Okay, so that was what John was saying. Verse 4. John goes on as he did in the second epistle of John. He said, I have no greater joy than to hear my children walk in truth. This ought to be the joy of every parent. Amen. This ought to be the motto of every parent. I have no greater joy. You know, the world can heap on us praise. We can have all kinds of things that we may receive from the world, but you know, as a parent, to see your child, say, walking in God's truth from a young age onwards, and you know that as this child grows, he's going to serve God. John says, I have no greater joy than to hear my children walk in truth. You know, for me as pastor, I have no greater joy to hear church members walking in truth, serving God, doing what they know supposed to do, being faithful in the little things that God has called us to. And thank God for those who have mentioned again, those in Sembawang, when tracking, I received an SMS from someone from the who said, 我可以来教会吗? Can I come to church? I saw this little booklet that your people have gone out tracking and they have SMS. I said, of course, you are welcome to come. And hopefully if it doesn't come, an opportunity for me to make an appointment with him and just see what we can do to lead him to the Lord. You know, obviously, he probably has some needs. Alright, this is one thing as Christian ministers we need to understand. When people call a church, there's a reason. Two reasons. One, they're looking for the truth. Number two, God is pointing them to us. Alright, so we need to lock on to that. Okay, we need to actually engage them. And so we need to walk in the truth. And thank God for those people who have gone out. And we will not reap unless we sow. Amen? We will not reap unless we sow. So John was very grateful. Once again, John was overjoyed. He has no greater joy than to hear the children of God doing God's will and walking in truth. Parents, can I just ask you as a side, what causes you the greatest joy? What gives you the greatest joy? A promotion at work? Something you've achieved? What is your greatest joy? Think about that. You don't have to be a parent. What is your greatest joy? Is that you walk in truth? You know, John said, I have no... Just think about it for a while. He said, I have no greater joy. Nothing is more important to me, John said. Nothing can cause me more joy than to know that my children is walking in the truth of God's word. The thing... I studied this last week already. When I read it again, it dawned on me. John said, I have no greater joy. Nothing is more important to me than to know my children is following God's word. That's what he says. I have no greater joy. Nothing is more important, no greater joy than to see my children walking in God's truth. Okay? Oops. Kachua, sorry. Probably a cockroach or lizard. Are you okay? Is she okay? Did you want to go save the little damsel in distress? No, I'll stay at the kitchen. She might be crying, so you might have to comfort her. Okay. At least she's have a proper response. Okay, well, once again, parents, what causes you more joy? What causes you more joy? That's what is your greatest joy for your parents? I'm sure when you see our children achieving, of course we are glad. But what is your greatest joy? What is your greatest joy? Okay? Now, verse 5. John goes on to say, Beloved, you are doing faithfully whatsoever you do to the brethren. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers. Gaius was commended by John that he is doing faithfully whatever he is doing to the strangers. Okay, there are two thoughts here based on this verse. Number one, he was doing faithfully. The word faithfully has to do with diligence. In other words, when he was taking care of the strangers, he was diligently doing it. He was being faithful. He was spending time and effort in doing good to the brethren and strangers. These were probably the missionaries or the men of God that was going through. All right, there was during those times. I think we shared last week. The church, they didn't have big churches like today. You know, mega big buildings. They all had house churches. And I shared with you last week that the house was probably about this size. You know, this cubicle. Now, I think in the Philippines you may have houses about that size. We went there. It's just kind of a small place, enough for 12 people. You know, and usually they would literally go house to house. Okay, and Gaius had one of these houses, and he was doing faithfully. He was also doing according to the faith. The word faithfully means to be with diligence, but faithfully means he was doing according to what God has said to do. Alright? According to the faith and teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we should care for the brethren. Okay? That's very important in Galatians 6, verse 9 and 10. Let's turn there. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians 6, verse 9 and 10. Okay, Galatians 6, verse 9 and 10. The Bible says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if faint not. Verse 10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. You know what? In that one verse, God covers everyone. The believers and the non-believers. Right? You have an opportunity. Let's do good to all men, but you know what? Especially to those who are Christians. You alright? Cockroach. Oh, centipede. All right, there was a centipede. Okay. Okay. So, Gaius was commended by John because he was following the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 6. And as he was doing good to these strangers had borne witness of thy charity before the church. Okay. So these people who gone through actually gave testimony of Gaius. Testimony before the church. He said, if you continue to do that, you will do well. He says, notice John says, if you bring them forward on their journey after a godly sort. In other words, there are some people who say, no, as long as you help people, that's fine. No, according to the Bible, there are certain ways of helping people. After the godly sort, it must be in line with biblical teaching. We don't just any Tom, Dick and Harry, and Sue or Mary comes here, we just kind of support the person. And we need to be very aware of what the person stands for and how they will preach the gospel and things like that. Okay? And so, John was very particular about love, that last week you mentioned, but he was also very particular about truth. Okay? And so, which do you think he was more particular about? Love or truth? Think about that. Which one? He was more particular about truth. You realize many churches in the world are more particular about love. It's okay. If you don't have truth, just love one another. That's not what God says. God says we need to love and be as big-hearted as we can. But you know what? When someone doesn't walk in the truth, the Bible says what? Genuine love rejoices only in the truth. It cannot rejoice in sin. As a parent cannot rejoice when a child does what is wrong, we cannot rejoice in iniquity. Anything that goes against the word of God, we cannot rejoice in. Okay, we need to make a stand. Now in verse 6, these missionaries have spoken well of Gaius, and John continues to admonish Gaius to continue in a godly sort. That means according to the will of God, in the spirit of Christian love, kindness and generosity. Okay, do it after a godly sort. Verse 7, because that for his name's sake, they went forth taking nothing of the Gentiles. John was actually teaching Gaius to continue because one thing that these missionaries were doing is, let's put it this way, when someone serves God, they are serving the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, to preach the gospel in the regions beyond. You know, when they decide to do something like that, they have made a sacrifice and tell God, my life is yours, I'll do whatever you want. But in verse 7, there's a very significant phrase in that the Bible says they took nothing of the Gentiles. You know, this is a pattern of the Bible that we need to follow. As Christians, as much as we may have non-believers coming to the church and put their offering in the offering bag, we're not going to stop them, all right? Because they're giving freely. But you know what? If a non-believer comes and say, hey, you're going to the mission field, let me support you. You know what you need to do? So, it's okay, thanks for your kindness, but that's okay. Because the biblical principle is, Christians should support Christian workers. That's the Bible principle. What if a non-believer comes and say, tell what, I'll give you $1 million for your church. I say, well, thanks, but no thanks. It's okay, we'll let God take care of us. Some people, from the practical sense, may say, come on, man, you have an opportunity to have a big church, more people will come. You know, the practical things will start coming, you know. What if I just want to give you $10 million and you build a church and more people will come and get saved and all that? You know what will happen? The non-believing rich businessman said, I was the one to build a church. And people said, well, you mean that guy gave one a wah? No. You see, God wants Christians to support the work. By the way, the $10 million belong to God anyway. Right? But we know we have to be very careful. When we go out as missionaries and all that, you know, whoever that goes out as missionaries from Ambassador must be fully supported by Ambassador. Okay? There is a decision, and I hope whoever will take over Ambassador next time, they will be very clear. Alright? Whoever there's going to be a missionary, they don't need to go deputation, they just go straight to the field. We need to go all we can to support them in the ministry. Alright? So, in verse 8, sorry, verse 7, I just wrap up here. Because these people are doing for the Lord Jesus, and they refuse to be helped by those who do not believe in Christ. Verse 8, we therefore ought to receive sight. The word receive means to welcome, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. We cannot receive help from non-believers, but only from believers, so that we might truly be helpers of the truth for the propagation of the gospel. Alright, so that's Gaius. Gaius had many good things. He was spiritually strong, just generally summarizing. He was walking in truth. He was supporting the man of God, and he was doing it faithfully. And he had a good testimony before the people. Alright, these are good things we need to follow. Then we come to another person. In verse number 9. This guy called Diotrephes. Okay? Now, the word I wrote unto the church. John says, I'm writing to the church, but Diotrephes, thank you, John. Diotrephes, who loves us to have the preeminence among them. There was one guy by the name of Diotrephes. He was the guy who is, he's the loudest guy. He talks the most, and he basically wants to be the center of attraction. Everything in the church must revolve around him. Alright? That's what it means here. Verse 10. Therefore, okay, what he did was, he wanted to have preeminence, and he did not welcome John. In verse 10, therefore if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words. The word prating means babbling. Okay? He was insulting against with malicious words. Now, the word malicious words here means words that hurt. Words that hurt. He not only wanted the center of attention, everyone had to revolve around him. Okay, let's say for example, maybe he probably a guy in the ministry, you say, my ministry is the most important, everyone has to surround, converging on me, I have to make the decisions, and whoever that is not on his side, he will put down. And that was what Diotrephes was doing. Alright, unfortunately he was doing it, and one of the biggest things was, as missionaries come forth, Diotrephes was saying, hey, I don't approve of that guy, you know, that guy is no good. And whoever supports that guy, the Bible says, he went to the point, I just read on, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and cast them out of the church. He would excommunicate anyone who support missionaries, say, come true. Now John says, look, I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes rejected apostolic authority. You know what he's doing?
He's rejecting God.
John the Apostle has apostolic authority from heaven, and he was writing to the church, but Diotrephes rejected him. He said, no, we're not going to have John. We're not going to have anyone that John recommends. You know what John says? When I come, that guy's in trouble. John goes on to say that he has written to the church. I just summarize here. The word Diotrephes interestingly means nourished of the Lord. It's just a big contrast. Gaius, his name is Lord, and yet he was humble. Diotrephes, the name means nourished of the Lord, and yet he was so proud. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians, what do we have that we didn't receive from the Lord? 1 Corinthians chapter 4, sorry. What do we have that we didn't receive from the Lord? Do you realize that your health, the money that you have, the life that you have, the family that you have, all come from God? But Diotrephes said, no, I'm in charge. And it is really a big contrast. No Christian ought to be like Diotrephes. Amen? No Christian ought to be like Diotrephes, because all of us are nourished of the Lord. It is God who gave us all things. And we need to be humble. We cannot be like Diotrephes. Okay? He wants to have the center of attraction. He refused to acknowledge John's letter. He said malicious words to bring down the authority of the apostle and also excommunicate those who would listen to godly counsel. Alright? And you know what? He actually stumbles other Christians by his example. After this, we will draw out some very important lessons from Diotrephes. In verse 11, John actually said this, beloved Christians, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. We are counseled not to follow the example of a man who does wrong and who has the wrong attitudes towards the Lord. It's interesting, the rest of the verse 11, he that doeth good is of God, he that doeth evil hath not seen God. You know what John the Apostle is saying? Diotrephes is not safe. That's what he's saying. He's giving a principle, if you do evil, you cannot be saved. I mean, if his whole trend of life, now, let's put it in the correct context. It does not mean that we don't fall into sin. We do, as Christians, we still sin. But if your life is continuously prideful and there's a trend over weeks and months and years, and people are just saying, hey, how come this guy is just like this? You know what John is saying? He that doeth evil on a continuous basis hath not seen God. How can you be proud when our Savior is humble? Amen? He humbled himself to the death of a cross. That's what John is saying. Have you ever heard this saying? You know, those people who walk away from God, and maybe they are doing certain things that are wrong, or they are following a certain trend that is wrong, especially maybe youth and people who go down the wrong path, they always say this, so-and-so from the church also do that, what? You know, and so-and-so also do that, what? You know what John the Apostle's counsel is? Follow not that which is evil. If you know it's wrong, then don't follow them. It's interesting how people, when they walk down a pathway that's wrong, they always try to point to other people who are doing the same thing. They are wrong. You know what? They are scorners, the Bible says. They try to get people on their side. You know what John says? Don't follow them. My encouragement to us is, keep following people who are doing what is right. Don't ever take your eyes off them. For there are many examples of people who claim to be doing right, but their lives don't reflect the biblical doctrine and teaching. You know? Be blind to those people, but be open to people who serve the Lord. For myself, I have my own hero. I won't say call heroes, but those people whom I follow, like Spurgeon, for example, he's dead, but you know his example, his counsel through his books, and that will help me. I was once asked, how do you get your feeding? You know, these are they being dead, yet speakers, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 2 and 3. You know how this Enoch, for example, they are still dead, but no, through their words and through their life, they speak and they encourage us. You know, young people, as you grow up, you have many of the other young people who want to follow the trends of this world. And parents, we need to follow the right examples. And that's what John the Apostle is saying. Those in the youth camp, who will be going youth camp, may we be the right examples for our youth. And when youth look at us and say, psh, I want to follow that Christian leader because he or she is walking with God and wanting to serve God. I see him serving and doing what the Lord wants them to do. Okay, this is what John the Apostle is saying. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. So that's the end of Diotrephes, verse 12. Demetrius had good report of all men and of the truth itself. Nothing much is said of Demetrius except that he had good report of all men and of the truth itself. Yea, we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true. Demetrius also has a good testimony before all men, and his life, interestingly, the Bible says, is consistent with the truth of God. Because Demetrius had good report of all men and of the truth itself. In other words, the Bible can stand up and testify that man is walking to according to my truth. Okay? Does that make sense? Alright? And his life is consistent with the truth. Verse 13 and 14, John just kind of says, look, I have many things to write. I don't want to write. I want to just come. In other words, if he has Facebook, I don't want to Facebook. I want to come and see you. That's why, just like Dennis comes to see. I can communicate with you over handphone, SMS. No, I want to come and eat with you and just be a blessing. Hug you, perhaps, and just be an encouragement. That's what, you know, the apostles weren't interested in letters. They want to come, but they had no choice. They had to write. But then, you know what? He's saying here, look, I have many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto thee. But I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to thee. Our friends salute thee. Greet the friends by name. Okay? So, a few lessons as we close John chapter 3. John chapter 3. 3 John, sorry. 4 lessons, very quickly. Number 1. Our testimonies are indicated by 2 things. Okay? Number 1, what we do. Number 2, what others say of us. Our testimonies are indicated by 2 things. What we do, not what we say, is what we do. Okay? Have you heard that phrase before? Your actions speak so loud, I cannot hear what you say. In the Bible, we can speak till the cows come home, but if our lifestyle is in the wrong direction, we're not doing what God tells us to do, we're not credible. As a Christian, our lives ought to be filled with good works for the Lord and helping others. And that people will have a sense of, you know, this person really cares. Okay? In Matthew chapter 7, verse 20, I'll just read, wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Alright, in salvation we know that as a person is genuinely a Christian, he wants to read the Bible, he wants to pray, he wants to reach out for souls, he wants to baptize, join the church, he wants to do what is right. Alright, by their fruits ye shall know them. Remember this, please, for the rest of your lives. Children, if you are hearing this, remember your life, your reputation is decided. People can see based on 2 things, what you do and what others will say of you. And the Bible says in the word Proverbs 27, let another man praise thee and not thee thyself. Let another man praise thee. Alright? Self-praise is no praise. Self-praise is international disgrace or whatever. You know, we don't praise ourselves. Alright, so I know this and I can, you know, just do and the praise will come. Amen? Just do, the praise will come. You know what? I've learned one thing. Don't work for the praise of man. Work for the praise of God. It's one thing. Sometimes we do need encouragement, you know. But what if no encouragement comes? You know, the encouragement we need to work for is what God says. If at any point, yes, we do need some encouragement to go on. But you know, sometimes when you serve God, the encouragement just doesn't come. But you know, it's okay. Because God says, I will not be unrighteous to forget your labor of love. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10. Our testimonies are indicated by what we do and what others say of us, number 1. Number 2, as a church, we need to be hospitable to the man of God who comes to the church, who do the work of God. Alright? For us, as we practice, those missionaries who come through, who usually I'll meet them outside first, just kind of suss out their testimony and kind of try to understand a little bit of what they believe and what they do. Alright, before I can actually allow them to preach in the church or even for us to support them. For Brother Sumatra and Brother So, we've known them for many years. They have Pastor Sumatra has been in the ministry since 1980. Planted 3 churches in the Philippines, and now in Thailand, Brussels, has been serving the Lord for the last 8 to 10 years now, in that Middle Kingdom, planting a few missions in China. So we are thankful for that, and we support them. Whatever we need, we go. We will do what we can to support them. We have also Brother Cloud, Brother David Cloud, planted a church in Nepal, the first independent Baptist church in Nepal, the Buddhist kingdom. All right, it was chased out in 1987 because of some change of the laws. They ordained 3 preachers, and then he left, and then he came back. Now he's in Nepal, and what a wonderful blessing from the little church in Nepal. Not little now. They actually started about 80 missions in the mountains. Okay, because Nepal, you know, is a very hilly country and not very advanced. But you know, the Nepalese evangelists are going out preaching the gospel in the mountains where it's very hard to reach the people. Okay, best people to reach the locals is the locals. Get them saved and just go in there. Okay, and so for us who can't go there, well, we can send our funds. We can encourage them by our life. When they come here, we can encourage them. Alright? So as a church, I'll just make this statement as a pastor. Based on the Bible, we need to be supportive of men of God who come through. And we need to be big-hearted to meet every need that we can. Okay? I know that sometimes we are a little bit, oh, we need to look at this and that. No, I can tell you, if we support missionaries, God will bless us. Amen? I think if we just obey God, and this needs to be a trend of the way we think as a church. We support men of God that come through. God will bless our church because it is forwarding the business of the master. Alright, so this is what we need to do. Alright, the next one, if a person comes through, there's not a like faith, I believe we need to still take care of him as a Christian. Let's say if he's a Christian, but you know, he doesn't really stand on what we believe. We can still take care of him as a person, but you know, when it comes to propagating the truth, we do not want to be partakers of error. So we need to take a stand. And one more lesson, the last one. As a Christian, remember, let's turn to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, okay? As a Christian, Mark chapter 10, verse 45. I memorized this verse since 1981, and it always reminds me of who we are as Christians. You look up to Mark chapter 10, verse 41. The disciples were asking to sit on Jesus' right and left hand. Okay, so there was this squabble for authority. And Jesus, the Bible says in verse 41, when the 10 heard, they were displeased with James and John. Verse 42, but Jesus called them to him and said unto them, ye know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Okay, so in the world, the Gentiles, the way they minister authority is, if I am the so-called, I'm higher than you in rank, then you are supposed to listen to me and you're supposed to serve me. Kind of, it's the same area in the army, for example. When a general comes in, everyone must stand up, for example. Alright, you must get a drink, a red carpet must be laid down. If a prime minister or whoever comes, you've got to kind of lay out the red carpet for them. Jesus said in verse 43, but so shall it not be among you. Because for a Christian, whosoever will be great among you shall be your servant. The word minister means a servant. In other words, in the world, the VIPs get master treatment. In the kingdom of God, the VIPs are the servants. Amen? Because Jesus, our Savior, was a servant. And whosoever of you will be chiefest shall be servant of all. Verse 45, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. The lesson based on 3 John is, let's not aim for center stage in the church. Let's all aim to be servants. One of our mission values, hopefully, we're going to pray over and we'll teach that. Our church needs to be a servant church. Because a servant church listens to the master, amen? and as a whole, we are, I'm a servant just like all of you. We just say we've got different roles in the church, and God puts in different, and God can kick me out anytime He wants. And you've got where your role is, and where your role is, and where my role is. If we're all doing the role that we're supposed to be in, our church can move forward. Okay, don't aim to be central church, but be content to take a low position. Let's turn to Luke 14 verse 7. Luke 14 verse 7. You know, Diotrephes was causing so much problem in the church that Apostle John with apostolic authority from heaven had to come and deal with him. Alright, because otherwise, you know what? Because Diotrephes had such preeminence in the church that even when they wanted to do right, he'll stop everyone. But Gaius and Demetrius were privately supporting the missionaries based on their own funds. Does that make sense? That's why John was so pleased with them, so encouraged by them. But in Luke chapter 14 and verse 7, the Bible says, "And he put forth a parable to those which were bidden, when he marked how they chose out the chief room, saying unto them, When thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee, and him come and say to thee, Give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lower room. Verse 10, But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, Friend, go up higher, then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit and meet with thee. Whosoever exalteth himself," Christian, listen, "whosoever exalteth himself, God will bring down." You know why? God resisteth the proud. He hates pride. So even as a church, you know, as we serve one another, you know who spake this? This was Jesus. This was the Lord Jesus, our Savior. He says, anyone who would exalt himself in any way, shape or form, God will abase. God will bring down. And I don't know about you, but I'm not going to fight God. I'll lose. The Bible says God resisteth the proud. But you know what? He gives grace to the humble. Those people who choose to be humble, He will be there for them. But he that humbleth himself, the Bible says, himself shall be exalted. Be contented, Christian, to take a low position. Now, don't use that as an excuse. The pastor asked me to take low position. So never mind. Even pastor asked me to be a leader of ministry, I don't want. Because, if pastor asks you to go, or if God moves you to serve in some ministry, it means that God wants you to do something more. Alright? Be prepared, Lord, whatever it takes to serve. I'm willing to step in those shoes, but God, it's time for me to leave, I will leave. But God, I'll do what I can there. You know what? God put every member in the church for a reason. When we don't fill that post, something is wrong. Something is missing. The church will not function as it should. Because you see, as a master designer, for example, if I make a watch, I need to put every part where it belongs. And God knows what ambassador needs. We thank God over the last 1 or 2 months, God has added 8 members to the church. And Lord willing, we have 2 or 3 more before the end of the year. You know? Which means God says, this church wants to grow, needs to grow, and there are some people that I need to put in new positions to help the church move forward. But you know what? As we go, those of us who are already members, can I challenge you? Let's be an example of a servant to the new members that come in. Let's be serving. Let's be doing things which when they say, okay, if this is the way that this church wants to go, and I like that because that's what God says. And I need to be serving, I need to be involved. Alright? And can I say this? You can take initiative to serve. Just let me know and just do it. Alright, if it's in the will of God and we can make use of that, there are many things that we can do. Alright? I can say there are 1,000 things we need to do for the Lord. And let's take it a step at a time. Alright, let's follow the example of Gaius and Demetrius to be serving, having good testimonies. But just remember, let's not follow Diotrephes, okay? Although he was nourished of the Lord, he was proud in heart. And God will bring these people down. Okay? Any questions? Any questions from anyone? Let's be close. I hope it's an encouragement. If you don't remember anything, just remember this. Don't take center stage. Just be a servant. Alright? Let's be like Gaius. Let's be like Demetrius. Okay, as a church, we need to be hospitable. And the final one, our testimonies are indicated by what we do and what others say of us. Listen, it's not what we say of ourselves. We always have a high esteem of ourselves. You know? We always say, ah, no problem, one, I can do it. But when the crunch comes, I actually cannot. Okay? And sometimes it helps to listen to what other people have to say. Any questions? Well, let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time. And Father, I don't know what direction you want to take, Father, with this word, but Lord, thank you for teaching us on Gaius, a man obviously loved by the Apostle John. And he was loved because of a few things. He was loved because he walked in the truth of God's word. He loved because he took care of Christians. He loved because he had a good testimony. He loved Gaius because, Lord, the people that were ministered by Gaius had good report about Gaius' life as he walked in the truth. And it is obvious Gaius supported missionaries, men of God who came in. Father, help us to be a Gaius. Lord, I'm praying that there will be many Gaius in Ambassador Baptist Church. Lord, I pray that there will be many Gaius in Ambassador Baptist Church who, as a result of their work, Lord, many people will see the light of the gospel in our life. And then their father, there's Demetrius. Not much is said of him. But yet we know, Father, Demetrius was a man who had a good report of the apostles. But more importantly, Lord, his life was consistent with the word of God. Lord, I pray for many Demetrius in Ambassador. The Father, our lives will be characterized by good testimony based on your word. Because thy word is a lamp to our feet, light to our path. Oh God, save us from diatrophies. Father, we pray that there will be no diatrophies in Ambassador. Father, there will be no one who won the prominent position with pride. But God, that we will be humble because our Savior was humble. Lord, help us as Ambassador Baptist Church to understand there is no place for pride in the Christian's life. None of us, Lord, ought to think more highly of ourselves. But God, that it is you who has given us all things. And Father, it is you to whom we must give account.